Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
You know, it's always struck me how many project management books and courses there are. Thousands, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Certifications, methodologies, you name it.
And yet projects still seem to, well, famously fail. It's almost a running joke, but it's real.
It is. And there's actually a term for that frustration. Cobb's paradox.
Right, Cobb's paradox. It basically asks, if we know why projects fail, and we even know how to stop them from failing, why do they keep failing?
It suggests there's a fundamental disconnect, doesn't it? Something missing in the standard approach.
Exactly. And that's what we're digging into today. We're doing a deep dive into this whole challenge.
And we're drawing heavily from Joseph Kassa's work, specifically his book, Systemic and Systematic Project Management, 2019.
Yeah, and this isn't just, you know, another textbook repeating the same old stuff. Kassa built this from decades of actual experience, seeing what works and what doesn't, aiming to fill those gaps.
Mm-hmm. So our goal here really is to unpack a different way of looking at project management for you.
One that pulls together problem solving, thinking about the whole picture, that holistic view, and really emphasizes the people involved.
We wanted to give you a kind of shortcut, a way to get up to speed on why projects in the 21st century work or don't. Moving beyond just process to something more practical.
Okay, so let's get into it. Cobb's paradox, it really resonates. If we have all this knowledge, why the failures? What's Kassa's angle on breaking this cycle?
Well, the core argument is that the traditional way we think about managing projects, it's flawed.
How so?
It treats project management less like ticking boxes and more like fundamentally a problem-solving discipline.
Okay, problem-solving. I like that framing.
Yeah, the idea is to bake prevention into planning from the start, figure out how to handle unexpected issues, and bring all these different tools together into one coherent, usable method.
And he talks about systems thinking to do this.
Exactly. Applying systems thinking in a way that's both systemic and systematic.
Okay, systemic and systematic. They sound similar. Are they just synonyms or is there a real difference?
That's a great question. And actually, even the term systems thinking can mean different things to different people. Kassa clarifies there are two distinct types, and you really need both.
Like the blind men and the elephant story.
Precisely. That fable nails it. Each person feels a part of the trunk, the leg, the tail, and thinks they know what it is. But you need all those perspectives to understand the whole elephant.
So systemic thinking is seeing the whole elephant.
You got it. Systemic thinking is about understanding the system as a whole. Seeing how things fit into the bigger picture, their function within that larger context, that's the forest view.
Okay. And systematic. That sounds more like step by step.
That's right. Systematic thinking is the methodical part. Breaking down complexities, analyzing piece by piece, following a clear process. It's the detailed tree by tree analysis.
So you need the big picture and the focus plan.
You absolutely need both. Kassa also introduces these things called holistic thinking perspectives, HTPs. Think of the different hats you put on. Yeah, like a big picture hat, an operational hat, a functional one, even temporal looking at time. They're tools to make sure you're looking at the situation from, well, all the important angles, not just your default one.
That makes a lot of sense. See the whole, break it down methodically, and use different lenses.
Yeah.
Okay, so this thinking leads to the seven interdependent P's of a project.
Mm-hmm.
What are these P's?
Right, the seven P's, these are presented as the absolute core attributes of any project. Doesn't matter if you're cooking dinner or deploying a space shuttle.
Okay, what are they?
They are people, politics, prevention, problems, processes, profit, and products.
People, politics, prevention, problems, processes, profit, products.
Got it. But the really crucial word there is interdependent. Kassa stresses that these aren't separate silos. They're all connected, constantly influencing each other. You can't just focus on, say, process and product and ignore people or politics.
That feels right, especially people. It's first on the list, and you often hear it's the most important asset. But does project management practice always reflect that?
Often not, right? Kassa points out that while books on excellence talk about people, mainstream project management has kind of treated them as interchangeable resources.
Cogs in the machine.
Exactly. But Kassa says flat out, people are valuable and not interchangeable. He digs into competence first.
And competence isn't just years on the job, I take it.
No, it's much deeper. It's about demonstrated ability. He breaks knowledge down into three types: declarative knowing facts, procedural knowing how, and conditional knowing when and why to use that knowledge. plus cognitive skills like systems thinking itself.
So you need proof they can actually do it and know when.
Precisely. Hire for proven capability, not just a resume.
Okay, so you find competent people. How do you keep them performing? That's the motivation piece.
Mm-hmm. And the key here is getting personal. Managers need to genuinely understand what's in it for me, the YIMM for each person on their team.
Because it's different for everyone.
And it changes over time. What motivates someone today might not next year. It could be money, recognition, flexibility, even, you know, a better parking spot. You have to understand their slice of the pie, as Kasser puts it.
Makes sense. And the third leg of the people stool?
Communication. Hmm. This is huge. So many projects stumble here.
Oh, definitely. Tell me about it.
The book gives really practical advice, like for presentations. Don't just read your slides. Use progress slides like roadmaps. Keep things simple. Miller's rule, no more than 7 ± 2 items per slide. Make fonts readable. Rehearse.
Basic stuff, but often ignored.
Totally. But it also highlights deeper barriers. Cultural differences are a big one.
Like that tabling an issue example you mentioned.
Exactly. In the U.S., tabling usually means postpone. In the U.K., it means discuss it now. Imagine the confusion in a contract negotiation. Assumptions in different communication styles can cause real problems.
So how do you fight that?
Active listening is key. Kasser offers a technique called STALL.
STALL.
It stands for stay calm, think about the cause, analyze and ask questions, listen, really listen and learn from it. It's a way to force yourself to seek understanding, not just react.
Stay calm, think, analyze, listen, learn, stall. I like that. Okay, that's people. What about the next P, politics? That word has baggage.
It does, but Kasser treats it pragmatically.
Yeah.
Politics exist in every organization, period. Mm. Pretending they don't is naive and dangerous for a project manager.
So don't fight it, understand it.
Understand it and navigate it. Mm. Develop appropriate political tactics. This loops back to motivation problem. Understand the YFM for key stakeholders, the influential people.
Build bridges before you need to cross them.
Exactly. Build those relationships early. He quotes Machiavelli, who pointed out 500 years ago that innovators always face resistance from those benefiting from the status quo, and only lukewarm support from potential beneficiaries of the new way. That's organizational politics in a nutshell.
Still true today. Okay, moving on from politics to problems.
Yep.
You said earlier the book frames project management as a problem-solving paradigm. How does that change things?
Well, first, it tackles some common myths, like the idea that we can always anticipate outcomes. Sometimes, Kasser points out, we have don't care, situations where the specific result doesn't matter as much as getting something done.
Interesting. And where do problems come from?
Often from ignorance, not knowing enough about the problem, the solution, or how to implement it. Or from errors of omission, things we didn't do, which are often worse than errors of commission, things we did wrong. And sometimes it's just focusing too much on the immediate urgency, ignoring longer-term impacts.
And he talks about different types of problems.
Yes, distinguishing between well-structured, ill-structured, and the really tough ones. Wicked problems.
Wicked problems, like climate change or poverty, those kinds of things.
Those are classic examples, but they happen in projects too. They're tangled, impossible to define neatly. Stakeholders disagree on the problem itself, let alone the solution. Trying to solve them with standard methods often fails.
So what do you do?
Kasser suggests trying to dissolve them. Shift your thinking from problem to situation. Except there might be multiple unknown causes. Explore various potential solutions, maybe at different levels, aiming to manage the situation rather than expecting a single clean fix.
Manage the mess. Don't expect a magic bullet. Okay. So we've got people, politics, problems. How does this translate into actually running the project, the planning, the staffing, the schedule?
Right. The process is P, but viewed through this systemic lens. Kasser emphasizes meticulous planning, specifically product-based planning. He uses a 4-stage project lifecycle: initiation, planning, performance, and closeout. Pretty standard phases, but...
But the approach within them is different.
Yeah. For instance, in planning, he highlights the cataract methodology.
Cataract, like the eye condition.
Ah, yeah. But it's about flow. You start with a build zero to get the overall architecture right. Then you do successive builds, each like a mini waterfall project for a specific part with requirements frozen for that build.
So it's iterative. Build a bit, test a bit.
Exactly. Continuous feedback. And crucially, instead of just a work breakdown structure, WBS, focused on activities, this uses work packages, WPs, tied to tangible products or deliverables. That makes estimating cost, schedule, and risk for each piece much more concrete.
And since people aren't interchangeable, how does that affect staffing in this model?
You staff based on the specific skills and competencies needed for those work packages. And you aim for stability. Avoid the typical project ramp-up and quick drop-off if you can. Keep teams stable to retain that valuable institutional knowledge.
That makes sense. Okay, scheduling. The bane of many projects. Scotty's estimates from Star Trek come to mind.
Right. Kisser mentioned something called Augustine's fantasy factor. This observation that project estimates are often underestimated by a factor of about one-third. We plan based on fantasy.
So be more realistic.
Be more realistic, level the workload, don't overload people, and really understand your critical path and critical chain to see where the real bottlenecks are.
And finally, costing, often the bottom line.
Yep. Acknowledge that initial estimates are often guesses. Refine them as you go. Use methods like analogy, expert opinion, but also plan carefully. Reuse lessons learned. Consider commercial off-the-shelf COTS components where possible.
And if costs or schedules slip?
The book discusses options like crashing the schedule, adding resources to critical tasks, but warns these always have trade-offs, potentially higher costs elsewhere or quality risks. It's about informed decisions.
This all feels very interconnected, very integrated, but projects rarely go exactly to plan. How does this system help managers actually see what's happening day to day and catch problems early?
That's where the monitoring and control tools come in, and some are quite innovative. Earned Value Analysis, EVA, is standard, of course.
Right, measuring progress against budget.
But Kasser points out why EVA often fails things like incomplete requirements, not using the WBS properly, poor change control. He argues the systems approach, focusing on those tangible product-based work packages, makes EVA much more effective.
And you mentioned an anecdote.
Oh yeah, the deputy PM. She was meticulous about risk management, kept her own offsite backup of everything. A fire hit the project office, disaster, right? But her backup saved them a month of delay and cut recovery costs in half. That's proactive prevention paying off massively.
Wow, that's dedication. What else besides EVA?
There are CRIP charts, categorized requirements in process. This is pretty unique.
CRIPY, what does that track?
It tracks requirements through different states. Identified, in process, completed, in test, accepted. It lets you visually see if requirements are piling up in one state, indicating a bottleneck. Or if new ones keep appearing, scope creep. Or if things get stuck in test, it flags make up your mind projects where the customer keeps changing things.
So like an early warning system for requirements issues.
Exactly. And then there are ETL charts, enhanced traffic light charts.
Enhanced traffic light. So better than just red, yellow, green.
Way better. They add time. An ETL chart shows the status red, yellow, green, or even blue for better than good, not just now, but also in the past and the predicted future.
Whoa. So you can see trends.
Precisely. Is a yellow project trending towards green or slipping towards red? Is a green project stable or showing early warning signs? Imagine seeing a status go yellow with past problems noted, then green, then blue. That manager is probably doing a fantastic job. It gives you incredible foresight.
That sounds incredibly powerful for seeing ahead.
It really is. And it integrates with management by objectives, MBO, and management by exception, MBE. Set clear objectives, monitored with tools like ETL, and then managers only need to focus on the exceptions, the things deviating from the plan. Frees them up considerably.
Okay, this covers so much ground. One last area, ethics. Projects involve people making choices, sometimes tough ones. How does Kasser address the ethical dimension?
He frames ethics as a critical attribute for a project manager. You will likely face situations where you think something is wrong, maybe even illegal.
It happens.
So the book provides a practical framework. First, analyze. Is it actually illegal or just against your personal values or maybe company policy? Then what's your goal? What are your options? And critically think through the probable outcomes of each option.
Including the personal cost.
Absolutely. Impact on your career, your reputation, your self-esteem, loyalties, even your family. Kasser shares some personal lessons, noting that organizations often protect themselves first. So if you do decide to speak out or act, document everything meticulously, keep a diary, save emails, and proceed strategically. It's about navigating these dilemmas thoughtfully.
Wow, what a comprehensive look at project management. We've gone from Cobb's paradox all the way to handling ethical dilemmas through systemic thinking, the 7 Ps, TRI-IP charts. It's a lot.
It really covers the landscape. And if you connect it all back, the main takeaway is clear. 21st century project success isn't just about following a process map.
It's much more dynamic.
It requires that holistic view, understanding how those 7 Ps, especially people and politics, interact. It demands proactive management of risks and problems, using smart tools to see ahead, and grounding everything in ethical leadership. It's It's about evolving.
A really practical evolution beyond the old ways. So as you, our listener, reflect on all this, here's a final thought to chew on.
Thinking about Kasser's insights, especially around prevention and problem solving.
What's one unanticipated problem in your own work? Maybe a small one, maybe bigger, that you can now perhaps anticipate. And looking at the tools we discussed, systemic thinking, maybe an HTP, or even the stall technique. What's one specific thing you could try this week to tackle it proactively?
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.